Remember, you can always text me and let me know what you think. That's 917-754-4329. I just got a text that said, very interesting. So obviously they were listening to Chasm and not me. However, we're going to get back to him. We're now going to hear, did you pass the audition for Todd Rundgren?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, I did. For some strange reason, I did get the, I got the gig and spent the next 10 years of my life traveling around the world making records with Todd and Roger Powell and Willie Wilcox.
Now, those were the 70s. Those were some pretty wild times.
Yeah, that was right in the midst of all the excess.
So can you give us, like, you know, if you don't want to mention any names, that's okay. Can you give us, like, a wild, on-the-road kind of rock and roll story? Like, what kind of things were going on?
Well,
people charging,
I mean,
you a quarter to listen to them play, stuff like that?
No, no. That was around the time where it was kind of, I mean, it was kind of expected that if you were in a band and you were playing around and you were, you know, doing concerts and tours, you were getting high and drunk. And I got high and drunk.
More than once?
Yeah, more than once. It was just okay. It was expected. It was like, you know, that was normal behavior. You know, it's not like now. Now it's cooler to be straight than it is to be like that, which is fine.
And I was thinking of putting my band back together.
Well, that's okay. Just make sure everybody's straight, really.
No, that's what I'm saying. This doesn't sound like any fun.
No, it's a lot more fun, actually. I can attest to that. It's a lot more fun to go through life with a clear head than it is to go through a drug-induced haze.
I got
to
try that sometime.
Yeah, well, really?
Huh?
Are you high right now?
What's going on? Where am I? Is this a radio show? No, anyway. Okay.
So some of the things, I mean, we actually used to have people, there would be people sleeping outside of my door and, you know, in hotels and crashed out in the hallways. And
were some of these ladies?
Most of them were ladies, yeah, but there was the occasional guy sleeping in the hallway, you know, and I used to, like, open my door at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and have to step over people to leave the hotel.
You make any lasting friendships this way?
I don't know very many. I don't have very many friends from that era, no.
You didn't, like, step on somebody and say, excuse me, you seem nice, let's go for a cup of coffee?
No.
No.
Okay. I was the rock star. They were the fans.
I'm disappointed.
Well, what can I tell you?
I'm glad I didn't waste my time sleeping outside your door. Anyway, so you ended up playing with Meatloaf. How did that come about?
That was
Bat Outta Hell album, by the way, folks. If you have that album, Chasm played on all the songs on that album. Is this correct?
That is correct. As a matter of fact, I'm the only musician. I'm the only musician besides, well, I mean, really can't call Meat a musician. He's a singer. But I'm the only person who's played on all three Bat Outta Hell records, on every track, on all three Bat Outta Hell records.
Because I know that the drummer was split between, I think, Max Weinberg and the guy from Utopia, right?
Well, Max did every track except two, I believe. Max did, there's like only eight songs on that record, so the only two songs that Max didn't do were For Crying Out Loud and Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. The rest Max did.
Oh, okay.
So how it happened, how it came about was that they were shopping this record, and they got they were shopping Bat Outta Hell. It was Jim Steinman, Meatloaf, and one background singer, and Ellen Foley, would go around to record companies, and actually, you know, these were the days of demo tapes. Everybody would send a demo tape in, but they didn't have a demo tape. So what they would do is they would actually set up in a record executive office and play live and say, this is what our album is. And they would do it, Jim Steinman at the piano, Meatloaf singing, and they would perform Paradise by the Dashboard Lights live for an A&R guy. And they were getting turned down left and right. They could not get a record deal.
They didn't have Phil Rizzuto with them at this time, I guess, right?
No, they didn't. No.
Well, that put them over the top.
Well, that was one of the things that put them over the top. But the point is that they couldn't get the record made, and somehow somebody brought it to Todd, and Todd said, I'll make the record, you know, I'll do it. And he funded the entire record by himself, since it was only Jim, Meatloaf, and two background singers, they didn't have a band. So naturally Todd asked me if I wanted to if I wanted to play bass on it. And so one morning, the phone rings. I was living up in Woodstock at the time. Phone rings, and it's Todd on the phone. He says, I'm producing a record. Do you want to play bass on it? I said, yeah, sure. I got nothing going on today. Who's the artist? And he said, well, it's a guy named Meatloaf. And I said, okay, stop fooling around. Just tell me who it is. And he says, just come up to the studio if you want to play bass on it. So I went up, and there's this eclectic group of people and playing this crazy music. Roy Bittan, the piano player, and Max Weinberg, the drummer, were already there because I think Jim Steinman wanted them on the record. And it was me, Todd, me on bass, Todd on guitar, Roy Bittan on piano, and Max Weinberg on drums, and that was the band for the record.
And this is like really a classic. I mean, when you started playing on this record, did you have a sense of how big it was going to be?
No, as a matter of fact, I thought I would never hear it again. I would never hear these songs again. After we finished the basic tracks and some background music, I went on and did some other stuff. They finished the record, and I forgot about it. And then about a year and a half later, I was driving from Staten Island up to Woodstock to start a Utopia record. And there was a radio station at the time in New York called WNEW 102.7. It was a great radio station, and I'm listening to the radio, and this music sounds vaguely familiar. I can't remember for the life of me where I've heard this stuff before. And as I listened to it, I said, "Oh yeah, that's the album I played on. I did that. That's me on that." And that was the beginning of what today is about 48 million records or something like that.
All right, we're going to listen to a track. Like, what should we listen to? What do you think was a good choice?
Well, I always I like up-tempo stuff, so I think we should play All Revved Up.
All Revved Up with No Place to Go.